And now the man who spends a lot of time renewing everyone's energies, Mike Cannon.
This past weekend in Custer, Wisconsin, which is located just east of Stevens Point, was the 17th annual Midwest Renewable Energy Fair. With over 16,000 fairgoers, 204 vendors' booths, and 100 workshops, participants had a chance to see what is new in alternative energy technologies. Many fairgoers have been making this annual trek to central Wisconsin for years. With the increasing cost of home heating and gasoline prices rising to record heights, alternative energies have become the hot subject to many who are not only concerned with prices, but also the effect of coal and fossil fuels have on the environment. Wind turbine generators, big and small, solar panels, grease car, veggie buses, all could be seen at the fair. The fair is also a family event with children play areas and poster-making tents, along with a big variety of food at this festive occasion. The following interviews took place the weekend of June 23, 2006, at the Midwest Renewable Energy Fair. With the number of workshops and vendors, I could have interviewed for hours, but I only bring you today a short sampling of this year's fair. Again, I did not even begin to touch the wide variety of alternative energy workshops and vendors on the site. For a better feel of this event, one really must check it out themselves. Next year, Renewable Energy Fair in 2007 will run June 15th through the 17th. Again, here are a few short interviews and sounds from this year's Midwest Renewable Energy Fair from Custer, Wisconsin. As always, thanks for tuning in to the Indie Media Radio program, The Mike Cannon Show, normally heard every Monday starting at 2 p.m. I'm at the Energy Fair with a family that is walking around. I'm wondering if you could give me your name, your first name and what city you're from?
Chuck, Auburndale.
Auburndale, great. And why did you bring your family down to the Energy Fair today?
This is a summer get-together. We do it. It's a tradition, yeah. It's a tradition.
So you've been here a couple times then before?
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the importance of having an energy fair like this? I mean, why would you want to come down to something like this rather than just going to, let's say, a carnival or something like that?
Oh, there's a lot more stuff to see and do here, and instead of going around in a circle on a merry-go-round, you can go around in a circle here watching some fun stuff. It doesn't get you sick.
Great. What kind of fun stuff are you kind of interested in as far as alternative energy?
A lot of the wind farm stuff. I like that. On farm stuff.
Yeah, it looks like the generators and stuff are getting smaller. The big giant turbines are getting smaller and smaller all the time. Are you considering at some point trying to do some alternative energy?
Yeah, I've done it for the past 6 years. I enjoy even looking at the new stuff. This place has been growing just like nuts. Every year it gets bigger and bigger, but we're definitely going to do on-farm stuff.
Okay. Can I ask you what kind of alternative energy that you have that you're using right now then?
Sure. Well, I run vegetable oil in my truck. That's one, and that's pretty much it right now. And we're energy conscious too, which the kids right now need to do that. They need to be energy conscious. So
kind of leading by example by having the, I assume a biodiesel, is that correct?
It's not really a biodiesel. It's just run straight vegetable oil out of the restaurants.
Oh, okay. So you go to the restaurants, filter out the oil, and then you run it into the diesel, or is it going to regular engine?
No, into a diesel. It's got to be a diesel engine.
How's that working for you? Does that seem to work all okay, especially Wisconsin winters?
Wisconsin winters are tough, but I got a heated system, so it works up. All the bugs are pretty much been ironed out, but there's always details.
Sure. Thank you very much for your time, sir. Appreciate it. I'm with a vendor at the Energy Fair here who has a biodiesel co-op out of Madison, Wisconsin. I wonder if you could just tell me your name and a little bit about your co-op.
My name is Barbara Pennington, and the name of the co-op is Prairie Fire Biofuels Co-op. A nice mouthful. Our emphasis is to help our members learn about diesel vehicles, how to run on alternative fuels with those, maintain those vehicles, help members find the vehicles, sell them biodiesel if they want, sell them fuel, vegetable oil if they want, or help them brew their own biodiesel.
You say brew your own biodiesel. Is it possible to go to, like, get just grease out of Kentucky Fried Chickens and places like that, or is this something you have to actually produce at your own home?
You can go and get grease from Kentucky Fried Chicken, although there are better restaurants and worser restaurants to get your oil from. And then with a little bit of equipment and some education, which is what we're emphasizing, education, you can do the chemical reaction to make a vegetable oil into a biodiesel fuel. A lot of our members want to bypass that step and would like to be able to use that vegetable oil straight away. And we hope to provide that too.
Great. So you basically, as a co-op, you'll help set up people's vehicles or, like, kind of show them how to do it. I see a lot of pictures behind you. Looks like a lot of people working on some old diesel engines. Is that kind of the concept?
That is. We have a site that has three bays so that we can do everything from installing single or dual tank vegetable oil systems, changing glow plugs, changing fuel filters, changing oil, taking care of your transmission. Many of these cars that we're looking at are 30 years and older. We want to keep them on the road for another 30 years because the engine can last that long. Then we've got members that are more of the TDI, the VW fans. They've got 2000s, 2006s. They don't need quite the same amount of work, but they still need an oil change. They still need fuel filter changes, and we can get them running on B100 right away.
Okay, great. I'm just curious, on what would be the average cost if you had an older car that if you wanted to try to convert a diesel engine into some kind of reasonable working biodiesel car, maybe dual-use car?
Well, let me help clarify again the difference between biodiesel and straight vegetable oil. You can put biodiesel into any diesel vehicle, no modification needed. If it's an older vehicle, you only have to watch out for rubber components in your fuel system because they might degrade quicker. So, you've got biodiesel, no modification needed. If you want to go with the straight vegetable oil, you have two choices. You either have to get that vegetable oil warm enough to act like a diesel or a biodiesel, so in other words, increase viscosity, more liquid, or you need to change the fuel components to handle the thicker fluid. So that's why people get confused. There's biodiesel, there's straight vegetable oil, and under straight vegetable oil, you can have a single tank or a dual tank system. It all depends on where you want to modify, whether you want to heat your fluid or whether you want to modify the fuel components that handle the thicker fluid.
Okay, so basically in the wintertime, you need to have some kind of heating system on a biodiesel or for a greaser-type car that would heat it up enough to be able to not congeal and be able to run off that. Is that kind of correct, or am I way off?
Kind of correct, yes. Ask anybody who's running any kind of diesel, even if it's a Ford F-250. If they're smart, they've got it plugged in at night when they're up north, because even a winterized petrol diesel is going to have some difficulties not gelling. But of course, because we're talking about an engine that is a compression ignition engine, when you've got a cold engine, you're compressing that air. It's not getting as hot as it should, okay? So doing things such as plugging your car in with an engine block heater or adding like an inline heater, a fuel line heater, or a tank heater will make any type of diesel, biodiesel, or grease vehicle run better. A little bit more important for a straight vegetable oil or commonly called grease vehicle or a biodiesel vehicle because their gel points tend to be higher. They tend to get solid at a higher temperature.
The one vehicle that I've ever seen had dual tanks. Had two tanks run on diesel. They run it for 5 minutes to heat up the system, and then it gets basically enough warmth and enough, I guess, ungelling of the grease to be able to run it off of the grease for the rest of the trip. Is that kind of common?
That is one of the more common systems that's out there if you're running on a straight vegetable oil. And it's a great system. All of these systems have shortcomings because if you're doing short trips, you won't be running on very much vegetable oil because it won't get warm enough, and so you're still using the diesel or the biodiesel. But then again, if you're doing short trips, you shouldn't be driving. You should be taking your bicycle. But what's nice with the single tank is that you don't have to switch between one tank to the other. You'll always be running on the same fuel. But then again, in the winter, you might change the mixture that's in your fuel tank to be something that's a little more winter hardy.
Okay, so basically if you're a single tank operator, you have a biodiesel that's that you'll have to maybe change the formula during the coldest part of the year for it to run. It doesn't have an alternate diesel component of it. Is that correct?
With the single tank system, again, you're going to have just one tank filled with either biodiesel, vegetable oil, or regular diesel. And again, I'll have to remind you not to get confused between biodiesel and oil, because they are different things. Okay, biodiesel is made from vegetable oil for the most part. So one's a methyl ester, one's a triglyceride. We'll confuse the audiences here. One, you can think of one as like being very liquidy oil, and one as being butter. You know, so. But yeah, the question was about winter again with two tanks. So the two tank system is probably a little more winter hardy as it is, because if you're doing long enough trips, you'll start out on the diesel, whether bio or petrol, and then switch over to your waste vegetable oil, and there's enough heat in that engine to get that fuel to the right viscosity so you can run it. It's just a matter of, for some people, if they're running a Volkswagen Beetle, where do you put a second tank? So the single tank system is a lot more appealing to people who don't want to give up a trunk, a wheel well, a back seat, and are willing to maybe do a little extra work on getting some additional heaters put on the fuel line or the fuel tank.
Great. Sounds like there's a lot of options out there. Can you, two things, I guess. One, can you recommend a website if someone's really a beginner or novice like me? And second of all, can you talk just a little bit briefly more about your co-op and exactly how people could get involved or find out more information about your co-op?
Well, I can plug our co-op by saying if you want information on biodiesel or vegetable oil, we have got links to just about every place that's out there. So if you start at prairiefirebiofuelscoop.org, that's a great place to start. Or just do a search and put in biodiesel or grease car, and enough sites will pop up that you can get totally confused very quickly.
Absolutely. So again, you got three bays in Madison, Wisconsin, and you part of the co-op experience is that you'll be able to come down and cooperatively convert engines, I assume. Is that part of the deal?
Well, one of the biggest things that we're doing from our site is we've now gotten permission from the city and state to be able to fuel B100 directly into anyone's car, as long as it's a diesel. Members get a price break. Non-members have to pay a little bit more. We do install the Elspeth kit, or any other type of kit that you would like. And I like to emphasize that we're really not converting cars or modifying engines. We are strictly either adding a tank to heat fuel, or with a single tank system, we are changing the fuel components, the fueling components, to make them to have them be able to handle a more viscous fuel, a thicker fuel.
And again, all that information can be found on your website.
Yes, it will. And you know, we're there to be able to help you keep your three-month-old TDI, Volkswagen TDI something or other, up and running with fuel changes or oil changes, or getting a kit put in if you want, or we can keep your 35-year-old, 40-year-old Mercedes on the road, and anything in between, you know.
One more thing, I guess, from a more of a geopolitical, what is the importance in your mind of having co-ops or even having this alternative fuel sources available for cars?
One, there's sort of the environmental aspect. As a fuel that's made from a seed, it's carbon neutral. So as I drive my car around, I'm not adding to the global warming or the greenhouse effect. Now, mind you, I would do a much better job if I was biking everywhere, but until I can do that, I've got a vehicle I feel better about. I also have a vehicle that is made from a product that can be produced in my backyard, less than 2 miles from my home. There can be a soybean field. So we are taking that manufacturing cycle and just totally tightening that cycle around. I'm not importing something from Saudi Arabia or Venezuela or wherever, and all of those transportation costs that are involved with that, and of course the political costs of how much are we spending a day to try and maintain a stable energy system for, well, not for us, but for those that are making money off of the oil.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, and you have a great day.
Again, I'm at the Energy Fair with a GeoSource heat pumps vendor, and I wonder if you can give me your name and where you're from and what organization you belong to.
My name is Wally Heumann. I'm with a company called TerraTherm. We are based out of Minnesota. We are a wholesale contractor for geothermal heating and cooling. We have a contractor network all over the state of Wisconsin.
Great. And when you say geo heating, what exactly is all involved?
Basically, we are putting in a series of pipes in the ground, and we are extracting the heat in the wintertime and rejecting the heat out of the building in the summertime at an efficiency of around 350 to 450%.
Great. So you sink pipes into the ground. Do they go into wells, or is it kind of a surface type deal?
No, it's about a 7 foot. Horizontal would be 7 foot. There are verticals. There are so many different configurations. It just kind of depends on the structure.
Is this just for commercial, or does this have applications to residential housing as well?
Oh, no, we do probably 60%, 70% residential, and the rest would be commercial.
How about retrofitting houses? Is that a possibility, or do you start with the new homes?
The new homes are probably easier because you have things fairly tore up to be able to do it, but we do an awful lot of retrofits also.
And how long usually would you think to recuperate the investment you'd have to do into it, do you think would take?
Depending on how fancy you'd like to make it, I usually see a 3 to 7 year window. And with our fuel prices doing what they're doing, it just keeps getting shorter and shorter.
Great. So basically, in conclusion, what it does basically is it takes the heat out of the house, brings it into the ground where the ground temperature is always consistent. So, again, it cools in the summer and heats in the wintertime in essence.
That is correct.
Thank you for your time today, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I'm with a person from Focus on Energy. I was wondering if you can just talk a little bit about Focus on Energy and exactly what you guys do down here.
Sure. Focus on Energy is what I tell people should be their first stop if they're interested in energy efficiency or renewable energy. We offer technical assistance and we offer financial assistance for folks who want to do renewable energy systems or energy efficiency improvements on their homes.
Great. If I remember right, I think you guys, basically people can call you for residential houses, and you'll come, I think, for a small fee, if I remember correctly, and basically do an inspection and make recommendations on how to tighten up a home or make it more efficient. Is that correct?
That's right. That program is called Home Performance with Energy Star, and folks can call our 800 number, which is 1-800-762-7077, and for probably about $300, they can get a home energy audit. It's very complete. It's about 3 hours long. You get to spend time with an expert, and that expert will assess how energy efficient your home is and tell you how you can improve it. And we also have incentives available for you to help make those fixes then and reduce your energy bills.
Great. What are some of the more typical things that when people have this inspection that they find out ways of saving energy and saving, in essence, money? And do you have any idea with making kind of improvements about how long it would take to recuperate some of these maybe improvements you want to do to the place?
Well, it really depends on the shape your home is in, but I can speak from experience because I had one done this winter, and one of the recommendations that they told me that I could make is put more insulation in my sidewalls. And maybe it's a pretty low cost to do insulation, for example. Insulation's pretty cheap, and then you can recoup it maybe within a year or two, depending on what energy costs are in your area.
So if basically the inspection will come, and if there's like gaps between doors or they see some windows might be suggested, refitting those, or perhaps an inefficiently or misinstalled heating system, those are the kind of things that they can kind of find out for you and make recommendations for you to make improvements, and then you guys would offer incentives also or recommendations on how they can do that. Is that correct?
That is correct. And some basic things that they might tell you are just like if you have a very old furnace, they might say, go get an Energy Star furnace. And if you do that, that's a cost that can be recouped very quickly.
And can I have your name one more time and then with the telephone number again for Focus on Energy?
Sure. My name is Lisa Stefanik, and the phone number for Focus is 1-800-762-7077. Our website is also a wealth of information, and that's www.focusonenergy.com.
There seems to be right now sort of a structural problem with our political leadership and even our leadership at all levels. You know, business, education, I don't care what leadership you got, it's incredibly defective. You know, in education, you go to the University of Michigan, they're building $100 million gigantic megastructure buildings. You know, they have no idea how they're going to heat them. They have no idea how they're going to run them. You know, meanwhile, they're like, their life science buildings where they're going to be doing a lot of biomedical research, they have no idea how they're going to keep their cultures alive.
Is it ice cream out? Oh, what are we going to have to do with the ice cream?
That was a short sampling of this year's Midwest Renewable Energy Fair in Custer, Wisconsin. Next year's fair will be held on June 15th through June 17th. For more information about this organization, visit their website at the-MREA.org. Again, that website is the-MREA.org.
You are listening to a radio Because of the time it takes for radio to travel to Earth from distant sources, radio astronomers are able to see the universe as it appeared more than 10 billion years ago. The artificial radio broadcast you are listening to now portrays the universe as it was just 1 second ago. Stay current. Listen to the Mike Cannon Show.
Got any gripes, suggestions, or comments about this show? You can always contact me at themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. That's all one word, themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. A reminder that you can listen to all our WNRB programming now anytime on the net by going to one of our web stream links, like the one you can find at wnrb.blogspot.com.
Go and tell your master that we have been charged by God with a sacred quest.